Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We got Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy coming up in about 20 minutes. But right now, we've been talking plenty about Mavs-Clippers Game 2. And then tonight, you get Stars-Golden Knights Game 2. But on the Mavs front, we didn't see maximum 100% Kawhi Leonard. Or whatever 100% is even possible. Whatever percentage is even possible at this time in the season. My question is, after missing 8 games over the span of about 3 weeks, is this the level of Kawhi you're going to see? Because I imagine he'll be dealing with some, I don't know, inflammation or whatever today, and it won't be like he's like, I had all that time and now I'm good to go. I think there will be a little bit of a feeling out process for him.
It's always tough with him because if he does show up in the way that he can, he's arguably the best player in the game.
And most well-rounded.
He almost single-handedly beat us last time with those
three
games.
Well, game 6 and 7,
right?
He did. Yeah. He was like, all right, if we're about to lose, I will now take over and become the best player in the NBA. And then he's like, after those 2 games, he's like, I can't play basketball anymore.
Yeah,
that crushed me. Yeah. But at this point, I would say you're getting Kawhi on defense still looks really good because his IQ and his hands are so amazing. So he was still defensively, I would say, for his standard, I would say he was at 80%, maybe 90%.
Okay. From 817, they say 93% on the defensive end.
But offensively, he was definitely limited because he's doing it off of strength and IQ. He has no lift in his legs. He has no quickness off the dribble, at least yesterday. So where is he going to be Friday night with that? I don't know if he's going to be any better with that. He still is a valuable player out there.
No,
but he's
agree.
Not Kawhi Leonard right now.
And that's where kind of I fall. Valuable player, I accept. Series changer? If that Kawhi is not going to be there, that feels tremendous.
And that's where I'm kind of in this. There was a moment last night where he did something defensively and I went, oh, crap. He's about to turn something on. And he didn't quite do it. So that's, Kevin, I don't know if he can get his offensive groove back. There were two things that were clunky for him. A, the, like Mike was saying, his legs and his shot, everything hitting the front of the rim, being short. That's something that I think he's going to go work on. That's just what I think is the robot will oil it up and get out there and, you know, he'll find it at some point. But the other thing was he kind of looked out of sync with his guys too. You know, like there is a lot of ISO with that team, but he looked out of sync in trying to create. There was the moment where he had the play where the clock ran down and he was kind of trying to figure out where he was supposed to go with it. And he didn't realize that. So I don't, Kevin, I think that was, man, that those numbers are kind of low or kind of high to me. I think that you're going to get a verge one game of him. One game,
like
I think, is going to happen.
Brandon Roy,
yeah,
11 game. I know it's a little bit different, but
you're going to get one wave where you're like, "Oh crap, is he about to take over?" And I think that he'll probably be hurt after that because that's all he can give.
That's not going to be good enough, though, right?
I hope not.
Let me try it again. My opinion: that will not be good enough to take the series.
I hope not. I lean that way. I have Mavs in 6. I'm scared to death of Game 7 because I do think at LA you'll lose. So I know what we did in Phoenix in that game seven and destroyed them, but I do think Devin Booker is a mentally soft player. I get how good of a player he is, but maybe James Harden falls James in that Harden category game at times.
Too, yeah.
Paul George at times falls into that category, but I do worry about their physicality, their experience, a whole bunch of things of going back to LA for a game seven. So at this point, I'm really hoping you just hold serve at your home. You win these two, you go up 3-1, probably go back to LA and lose and then figure out how to win game six. I'm looking at Kawhi Leonard this way because he's played in so many games this year, the most games he's played in 8 years.
Wow. And, is that, yeah, I guess that.
And right. I look at what happened in the month of March. He was healthy for all of March, but 51% from the field, very good. 31%, 32% from three. And so I look at what did he do the month before where he was healthy and there was All-Star break. He was 54% from two. He was 46% from three. And I'm wondering if his body is just dying on him. It's so surprising he's only 32. Doesn't he feel like 36 or 37? Yeah. And he's not.
And there's taken a lot to even get him to this
point. He should be in his prime. He should be where he's still very physically capable of doing most everything he was able to do in his mid-20s, but yet his education level, his IQ of the game is at an all-time high. I worry about him because I saw it. We've seen it as Mavs fans. Him in the playoffs. When he turns it on, he is arguably the best in the game. But I think that he'll play better than last night, but I don't know how much better. But there's also this. I don't know what the percentage is. I'll throw it back at you. What's the percentage that after another game or two, he can't play the rest of the series?
That's where I am on. I think it's more than 50%. I think we're in the 70% area where he plays one of those games where he gives you everything he's got for the team. And honestly, maybe it's not enough and they lose. And he's like, I just don't have it. My body isn't holding up the way that I want it to. Y'all are going to have to try and figure this one out without me. Now, granted, they did it without him in game one. You know, they took it to the Mavericks really good in that game. And maybe I'm not saying they're better without him on the court by any means, because he can be that guy. But I'm right there with you, Mike, I don't think he plays more than three games in this series.
I'll put it at 33%. At some point, he has to sit out another game or the series.
Okay. 33% feels high to me for the rest of the series.
Well, I'm saying
But to miss a game, that I think that makes sense. And I think that's a problem that they're going to run into, because I also agree they're not a worse team with him. But I do agree. I think you've seen the max that you're going to get on a long-term basis from Kawhi in this series.
You think for the rest of his career? This is that point where he's like, okay, I'm kind of not a hanger-on, but
not necessarily, because I think they're going to reevaluate next season. Whether that Clippers team, whatever the hell they do with it, I think they're going to reevaluate next season and be like, hey, one of the reasons I had problems is because I did play so many regular season games, and go back to load management. I'm not saying I love it. That's what I think is going to happen, and we'll see.
I don't think it'll ever work out for the Clippers because of the injury history, but if they were completely healthy for all of the playoffs, you do look at that team on paper and go,
sure,
don't they have pretty much everything you need to win a championship?
Sure.
But do they have the health, and then do they have at times, I don't know this, the mental ability to win series? I think Russell Westbrook has still tremendous athleticism at his age, but they have a team good enough that they don't have to play him the last 4 minutes of a game that he won't screw up, because he can screw up. He can be out there and literally just go, I'm taking the ball away from Harden, George, and Leonard. I'm doing it. Because he has that mantra. He has that attitude to want to do it. And you're like, this is the stupidest thing you can do at this point, Russ. And Russ can't figure out why it's dumb, you know? And so, but they do have a team that can cover up for him and go, we don't need him in the game. And he's at this time in his career, he's okay with not being in the last 4 minutes of a game.
I did get a kick out of a particular line from Brad Townsend's story overnight about this game. How is Luka playing defense? A teenage Clippers fan shrieked in dismay and disbelief during the game.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just him. Like, Derrick Jones Jr., when he got the block late in the first, that was the fifth team block for the Mavericks in the first quarter. We talked about more competitive rebound attempts. You saw some stifling possessions. This Powell hit a ridiculous three-pointer that I was like, hey.
Norman Powell.
Yes. Not Dwight Powell. Fair. Norman Powell hit an incredible three-pointer that I don't want to give him credit for. And I was like, man, you sure had the horseshoe on that one. Because the defense was incredible. And he just chucked it up there. And it went in. So good for him. But I still thought the defense was phenomenal on that play.
They played so great defensively. And look, you're going to have collapses. At times, you're going to have defensive mistakes. It's going to happen every team. That's why there's
like the shift where they open through.
But I thought that they seeked out Luka quite a bit, and Luka rose to the challenge.
And you know what? If you hear Jason Kidd talk, he didn't have to ask him to participate. That's my favorite part. This is a dude that decided, I know what I have to do. Yeah. I am part of this team. I am not an individual on this team. And that's the part that really I think is defining it, because they said, you're right, they went after him. They said, we're going to pick on you. And he was like, I'm not going to let you. And I'm going to swat your ball. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
In fact, I thought that Luka, when they started posting him up on Harden, did you notice after about three or four possessions where it was successful almost every time, they were like, we just have to switch it immediately. Like, if they do this, we can't have Harden in this situation anymore. Because one of them, he fouled. It was a cheap foul, but I love what Skin said in that moment watching on Bally's. He's like, oh, Harden's upset that they called a foul that he gets a million times. Like, I mean, come on, James.
Yeah.
Very fair. I think you will love, especially Corey, since you just brought it up, the quote from Luka about his defense. He said, if they want to attack me, that's fine. I think I played good defense today. I've just got to stay locked in.
Yeah, that's so it.
He's telling the fans, but it also kind of feels like he's telling himself just a little bit, you know?
You know, Mike, one of the things that you talked about last year with him a lot was how exhausted he looked late in games and throughout the games. And he doesn't look exhausted. He looks like he has his legs, man.
I will say there was a part where he told Kyrie, Luka was on the left side of the floor. This was late in the game. I just can't remember, 3 minutes or so. Luka looked dead.
Oh, really?
Do you think his body, or was it because his face was so red and his hair was disheveled? Because he looked face-wise that he was exhausted, but I thought body-wise he was still going.
Yeah, I just thought at that point where he's like, you do it, man. And I just thought, I know this is very different, random, but I'm going to use it.
Do it.
My son sometimes doesn't swing the bat as hard as he can. And then I had him do a session with me, a batting practice session, where I'm like, I don't care if you hit it or not. You're swinging as hard as you can. And after 20 swings, he's like, I am so tired. And I said, that's how you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be able to swing a bat 50 times as hard as you can. You're not doing your best. You're not giving me your best. Right. You're giving me a contact swing. And I do think Luka engaged, and he played 46 minutes. He engaged for almost all 46 minutes defensively and offensively. And so I thought he took at one point a tough shot, like a bad shot. And my son was like, man, you know, kind of heat check. I'm like, dude, that was a tired, lazy shot. And but he found the energy. He found it late to make the big three to go up 90-81. I'm not trying to take a shot at Luka at all. I'm just saying
when he screamed at everybody in the crowd.
There was a moment. So he did have the energy. There was a moment though that I was scared with about 3 minutes to go. I was like, oh no. Remember, they took him out. There's free throws. And there's a little bit of a concern. They take out Kyrie, they take out Luka, and it's like, wait, with 3 minutes and change to go, and then it was like, hey, we have a timeout.
That was just for defense, yeah.
We have to use, it gives them literally 15 to 30 extra seconds to sit on the bench. But I thought at around that moment was like, I was scared and nervous because Luka was showing signs, I thought, body language of fatigue. But luckily, he was able to fight through it and get through that game. And let's be honest, when we preview Friday, he's probably going to have to play 45 to 48 minutes. He played 46 minutes last night. That's what the Mavs have to get out of him on a nightly basis, is almost all the game.
And how many texts does he have left? Does he have as many as he wants here?
I don't know what the playoff rule is.
Yeah.
You don't carry over Ringo.
He said "and one." That was all that he said, well, and they gave him the tech for that.
I disagree with that. I did not think what he said was "and one," and he also pointed at him and freaked out the second the ball went
he
in.
He was pointing plus at somebody in the crowd. It was pointing at somebody in the crowd, Kevin.
Plus, it wasn't.
Are you a home? Do you even care about the Mavericks?
Ask Mike. Does he care about the Mike? Does he care about the Mavs?
Do you even care about the Mavericks?
I do.
He didn't think it was a tech either.
He didn't say that.
He thought it should have been a tech.
I thought it was fine calling a tech in that situation.
I don't think y'all are Mavs fans.
Seven techs in the playoffs will get you a one-game suspension.
Yeah, we're in great shape.
We're fine. Yeah. We're the KNC masterpiece. Tech it up right here on 105 through the fan.
Only taking 14 games.
I have questions about Kyrie, though.
Okay, coming up next, though, we're going to talk with Bruce Bochy. So
let's go to break.
Let's
save
that
those
one.
Questions.
Let's get out of here now.
Next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, the Rangers know that big wins come from bold plays. That's why the original Louisiana brand hot sauce is the official hot sauce at the Texas Rangers, and they bring us Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
I know we have a lot of important baseball things to get to, but I am curious, how was Brookson done at the Rangers Gala?
Oh, I tell you, they did a terrific job. I'm a big fan. I've known them for a while, so it was a really, really fun night, and you know, they put on a terrific show. They brought the energy. They're about my age, and I had a chance to talk to Kix Brooks afterward, and said, man, you still got it. And he says, you know, just something about when you get on that stage. And so I think the guys enjoyed it. Yeah, we had that long streak, so it just turned out to be a really nice night. We had some nice outfits. The guys put on their cowboy hats and do-si-do'd and had a good time.
Boach, the other day I went to my first ever hockey playoff game, Stars and Knights. They play again tonight. I know you're obviously very busy during hockey and basketball playoffs. Have you ever been to a hockey or NBA playoff game?
I have. When I was in the Bay Area, I went down to the Sharks. I saw a few playoff games there, and it's unreal, man, how crazy it is, how loud it is, the excitement. You just feel the crowd. It's really a fun time. And so I do enjoy watching a hockey game during the playoffs.
Well, hopefully the Stars can get that back tonight. That'd be really nice. Now,
I saw they lost a tough one.
Yeah, that was tough. Now, Mike Bacsik was on the road last week with the team. He was doing the TV broadcast, and I know he got a chance to come in there and hang out with you. Was Mike professional while he was there, or was it like, all right, settle down a little, Mike?
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah, no, he's in the background. All good there. We had no issues with Mike. He, professional the whole way.
Well, Boach, I know I was taking it in the background. At one point, it was in Atlanta. You got a little bit frustrated, I would say, with just how many walks you guys have given up as a staff. Right now, you have the fourth most walks in baseball. I'd love to know from your perspective, how do you attack that as a manager?
Yeah, well, we're talking about it, and I can tell you that's what Mike preaches, first pitch strikes, stay away from the walks. So, you know, you just got to keep keep sending that message, and whether you make adjustments, where you're sitting, there's a fine line there. Sitting down the middle and giving up damage, with these good hitters. But you got to stay away from the walks, because if you look at it, a lot of those games, I mean, they're scoring. And, last year we had a tough time with the guys that we walked. They just found a way to score, and so. Just got to make some adjustments, I guess, with each pitcher. It's one size doesn't fit all on how you're setting up and how you're trying to keep them from walking guys. But I will say this, you talk about it enough, and it's like if you're catching, the worst thing you can do is go out to the mound, or as a manager or a pitching coach, you go out there and say, don't walk this guy.
Yeah.
He's probably going to walk him. So, you just got to keep preaching, pound the strike zone, use your defense, and that's kind of where we're at with it.
On the flip side, how frustrating is it when y'all draw the walks, as we saw last night, and can't cash in offensively?
Well, you're right. I mean, first inning, you get a couple walks there. I know we're facing a good pitcher, but, that's a time when you're hoping somebody can come through, and, It hurt us last night with a walk, a couple walks there. But I do think we do a good job of getting our walks, and we do a really good job of getting them in for the most part. So I don't know what the numbers are this year, but I think it worked out really well last year.
We were talking about the Mavericks game last night, and Mike pointed out one of the players had a series of multiple moments of being a little flustered and making some mistakes, and Jason Kidd pulled him out of the game, let him collect his thoughts. And I said, that's a Boachy move. Like whenever Boachy, he immediately will say, hey, it's time for you to go. Or, sometimes you do kind of let it go with a guy a little bit longer. How do you know when a guy doesn't have it or when to make that move for a guy? Is it analytics that you're looking at there? Or is it just a sense of his body language? How do you know?
You're talking about pitchers?
Yeah, or players in general, hitters when they're at the plate. Like, how do you know when to push it and when to back off?
Well, you try to read them on how they're doing, where they're mentally. Everybody, has their streaks, good and bad. But sometimes I think you got to look under the hood and see what may be the issue. If they're not going well, they might need a timeout, a couple of days off. That's what we have to do. That's our job, is try to, read that. Now, you're looking at numbers, sure. Sometimes it could be, a pretty good sample there where a hitter's had a tough time against a certain pitcher. Well, that's a great day to give him a day off. Let's give him a rest, lefty on lefty. And I'll just use Carter as an example. Here's a guy that's trying to find his way against left-handed pitching, and he's going to hit lefties. He just needs reps. Well, there's a fine line there because, we're trying to get runs on the board, and so I'm trying to pick my spots with him. But when it's all said and done, this is the guy that's going to be out there every day. He's going to be hitting righties and lefties. So, that's what I have to decide, and I do use my hitting coaches. We do have our stuff here that can help us too. We call them maps, and look at the maps and see, all right, what kind of matchup is this? So I think you get all that information that hopefully will help you make the right decision.
I can only imagine it's incredibly difficult to be a rookie in Major League Baseball. We talked a lot about Wyatt Langford so far this year. Do you think it's difficult to stay engaged, especially as a rookie, when you're mostly DHing? And do you anticipate any uptick maybe in seeing him in the field?
Well, I'm trying to get him out there, once a series. I think there is an adjustment to DHing, but he's engaged. He's watching the game, or you know, he may go in the cage and take some swings. But you know, again, you're talking about, well, here we just won a World Series with, you know, Carter out in left, Leo in center, and Garcia in right field.
Pretty good crew, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good crew. So now, which one are you going to, you know, take out and DH? Because it's the same with them. They want to be engaged in the game too. So so it's a workable situation to where it may get them a little bit more rotational, where Langford's not getting the lion's share of the DH, and he'll get some more playing time out in the outfield.
Tonight, Boach, you have John Gray on the mound. He had two solid starts and then was just dominant in his two innings of work out of the pen. How can John Gray build on the two innings in Atlanta and take that into hopefully six or so innings tonight?
Well, that's our hope. He takes that stuff, what he threw in Atlanta, and carries that into the game tonight. And he has been throwing the ball well. So, no, I think he's in a good place mentally. I think the command, everything has really come together. You know, we're facing a really good staff here, so we're going to need him to go out there and be on top of his game and give us a chance to win. So no adjustments or anything. Just keep doing what you're doing right now, John.
I want to talk about a different John. Jonathan Hernandez, activated off the injured list. I don't think anyone questions how great his stuff is, but what's the key to his effectiveness? Because I know we've talked about the mental aspect sometimes can be tough for him.
Well, I think that's part of it, especially with a young player. You know, they have that sense of belonging, the confidence, and you know, things don't go well. You know, being able to handle it, have that poise. As we say, he's throwing the ball really well, and that's why he's here. So, Johnny, as you saw last year before he got hurt, I mean, that stuff was electric.
Yeah.
We were excited to have him, and I thought that was a big loss for us when he had to go on the IL. So I'm looking for him to just have his good power sinker. He's got a really good slider and changeup, and it works. Now, the other part he has to handle, and that's dealing on the mental side of it, having that mental toughness, you know, to deal with the ups and downs, and that confidence, and know, hey, I'm getting this guy out, I'm getting the ball where I want, and have that conviction behind every pitch.
Boach, I know the organization has, but I'd love for you to just update a little bit on Josh Jung. And I think Josh Smith has done a great job filling in. But can you talk about how Josh Jung can affect other guys in your lineup when he's out? Because you guys just have such better numbers when Josh Jung is healthy and in your lineup every day.
Well, he's one of our guys. He brings it every game. He has that energy you love. It's just contagious. He's pulling for everybody. So, you know, we miss him. There's no getting around it. Now, I'm going to add, before I talk about him a little bit more, I think Smitty's just done an incredible job. I mean, playing third base, the hits, the big hits he's gotten, the pinch hit. So he's that's why it's so important to have those role players ready to go. And Smitty had a great spring. And so when Josh went down, he just stepped in and was doing just a tremendous job there in replacing him. But Josh is one of our guys, and he's a power bat. He does a lot of damage against lefties. Lefties have been giving us trouble, so we do miss that bat in the heart of the order. And, you know, he just plays great defense. So it's going to be good to have him back, but we're still a ways away.
How much further are you feeling? What do you want to see from Max Scherzer as he's getting his starts, his work now?
Yeah, Max, big day today for Max. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, could be three rehab starts, but it's hard to put a number on it because you got to see how he comes out each one. But tonight, he'll throw around 50 pitches in that area, and then we'll reevaluate him, and he'll just keep getting extended till he gets to that around that 90 pitch area.
I was actually asking Mike about this the other day. I was like, what is it you're looking for when Max is in these rehab starts? Is it velocity that is kind of the thing? Is it location? What is the key that you're like, okay, he's ready, he's the guy?
I think all the above, you know, that's going to be the velocity. That's going to be important for them, you know. But as much as anything, just build up the strength and stamina that it's going to take to start up here. And that takes a little while. You know, you go out there and you throw your 50 pitches, and he'll probably be at a point there where he's pretty tired, and the next start should be better. And so that's what we're looking for. As far as the arm strength, I mean, he's thrown to hitters live BP, and that looks good. It's stuff. He's really spinning the ball well. I mean, good command of that changeup. So I'm amazed at where he's at right now. So now it's just a matter of building up that strength and stamina.
That's a better answer than Mike gave me the other day. He said, thanks. Hey, play some pro ball and you'll know, Corey. And I was like, all right, fine, Mike, thanks.
I know that obviously Mitch Garver is on the opposing team now, but yesterday he said he wanted to find you and give you a big hug. Did you get the big hug from Mitch Garver, and how cool was it to see him get his World Series ring as well?
I did before the game. I tell you, that was a special moment. Even though he's on the other club, I'm thankful, grateful for what he did, the contribution that he made for our club. I mean, incredible job as a DH, and it just gave us that big bat there and helped us win the World Series, played a major role in it. So it was good to see him out there and see his face when he saw that ring. He opened up the box and you could just see him. And looked like he's starting to get emotional there, with the presentation, as he should have. I mean, the crowd gave him a big hand, see why he was there to hug him. And, you know, and I just said, man, I can't thank you enough. And so it was a cool moment.
Boach, my last question is, Ellie De La Cruz is coming into town this weekend, and I've heard from people he might be the best athlete in the game today. I was wondering who the best athlete in baseball ever was or is that you've seen.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm looking forward to seeing him or not. He's on fire, man. He's playing well. I don't know. Bo Jackson, I don't know if you're going to find one better. I didn't have him on my team, but I saw him, on the other side, and man, just incredible. Deion, same way. You know, he got on base, and you just felt like you couldn't throw him out. And, you know, he was a little raw at the plate, but, because of his speed and everything. But, we could have one here with Michael Lorenzen. I mean, he can play center field. He can hit. He can do a lot of things. So, I know a lot of people think I'm kidding, but he's a really, really good athlete. So it's fun to see guys that can do both things. So pitch and play the field. So I guess you have to look at Ohtani as probably the best now.
Outstanding stuff, as always. We appreciate it very much. Best of luck tonight, tomorrow afternoon, and we'll catch up with you again this next week.
All right, guys. Good talking with you.
Thanks, Boach.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I know we've kicked it around. I know we're going to go to Mike Likes It.
Yeah.
Something he said about Wyatt, I think is fair. We've kicked around ideas to get Wyatt Langford in the field, but the response of, we have three outfielders that did help us win the World Series. That's a pretty strong counterpoint, and I understand why you would not want to bail on that group particularly soon.
Yeah, it's 24 games in, yeah. And I know I'm going to get to Mike Likes It and probably talk a little NBA playoffs, is they say that Nico Harrison or whoever, it's been said for decades now, I'm just using Nico for an example, is they want to play 20 games before they start maybe making, I don't want to say major adjustments, but significant adjustments to a NBA team. So a fourth of the way through the season. So you're looking at an MLB schedule going, well, maybe we'll know more 40 games in. Right. I'm throwing the number out. I would say the end of the month of April is until you want to start going, okay, let's reevaluate where we are with Wyatt Langford, Leody, Evan Carter, Adolis. We don't need to worry about. He has a lot of years under him at this point. We know what Garcia is going to do. I do think, though, here at the end of the month of April or early into May, I do think you need to have a serious conversation on what are we doing with Leody, Evan Carter, and Wyatt Langford? Because are we getting the most out of them? I think the answer would be no. Is that our fault? Or is it just they're off to slow starts?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question, Mike.
I think.
Well, I don't know. There's no perfect answer, but I do think that will need to be a question here at the end of the month or early in May, and go, how do we get the most out of these guys, or are they just off to slow starts?
Yeah, if you do what Kevin wants, you just trade Leody and move on the way he wanted to.
I don't think Bochy would be super pumped about that opinion. Now, how about some Mike Likes It?
Okay, first one, I'm just going to stick on baseball for a second, because I think if you're not a Ranger, let's just say you're kind of a casual Ranger fan, but not a huge baseball fan. You don't play fantasy baseball and all those things. So if I brought up the name Ellie De La Cruz, they might go, well, who the crap is Ellie De La Cruz? Kind of like when we talked about the 20 actors that I didn't
know. I did love Boach. Is like, I don't know if I'm so excited to see him.
He's 22 years old. He's 6'5". He's 200 pounds. He's a shortstop that throws the ball about 100 miles an hour from shortstop and can fly. Right now, amazing. He's batting .295 with 7 home runs, 17 RBIs, and has an OPS of 1.043.
Is that good?
Jeez.
So, yes.
All right.
He is awesome. I'm going to be honest. I can't wait to see him. I'm hoping when you say that, then you're also kind of hoping he does some special things. It is against your team. So I'm kind of, in a way, hoping he doesn't do special things, but he already also has 12 stolen bases this year too. Wow. So he's in a way on pace for a 40-40 year in his first full season.
That's
in the major
dang
leagues.
Impressive, man.
So he's a switch-hitting shortstop who is very special, and I don't have the update. I know the Rangers sent it to me and other people in media. There's limited amount of seats for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't have the exact numbers. Now, I know that there's seats available for tonight and tomorrow night because it's not the weekend yet. But if you're looking to possibly go see the Rangers Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you might want to jump on to TexasRangers.com or onto ticketing websites, because I do know that a lot of these weekend series, they have sold quite a few of tickets in advance. And this Ellie De La Cruz is somebody that you might not want to miss. He'll get to come into town every other year. Right now, he's healthy, he's on fire, and he's one of those very special people that maybe you want to see play in person.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
Okay, now I go back to basketball for now. Tonight is kind of, to me, a bad night of basketball, so I'm not really going to care about basketball tonight.
But you got hockey, so everything's good.
Yeah. Is it because you think those series are...
So the Boston Celtics...
I get it.
I'm going to have you guess. What do you think the spread is on that game?
34.
I was going to say, I bet it's doubled to 10 and a half.
14 and a half.
I was only
so
20
if you
off.
So if you want to
wow.
So if you want to go like, how is that first game, the Heat Celtics? The Heat do play very hard, but Vegas is telling you they don't, without Jimmy Butler, they just don't have a team that they think can even compete right now against the Celtics. 14 and a half, even a 1-8 series is a huge number.
Holy moly, that is a big number. I am curious to see how the other one plays out, because clearly New Orleans gave the Thunder a headache most of the night in that game.
I'm with you. Oklahoma City is favored by 7.5 tonight. Yeah. So you look at that one and you go, well, that one looks like more competitive. But now I ask you this. Do you think the young team first playoff game kind of? I get that Oklahoma City, they're in the play-in last year, right? But didn't make the real playoffs.
Correct.
So a young team. You know what's funny is about, I'll keep saying this, and I think people here know, nationally they don't know, Shea's a year older than Luka.
That's wild.
So when they are like, this young Shea, now he is leading a much younger team.
Yeah.
I that is true. They are a young team, but Shea's older than Luka. Do you think that they kind of got the butterflies out while getting
maybe
the
so.
Win,
yeah.
and then they'll play more like they played throughout the regular season?
Yeah, and plus, it's a depleted New Orleans team that they're going up against, so I want to see how this game in particular plays out.
Okay, because in a way, I'm going to be stars hawking.
Sure.
It's just going to be late. I mean, it's another 8:45 puck drop. So
yeah. And you're right about that. It's not 8:30.
Yeah, supposedly 8:30, 8:45, 8:50.
Not happening at 8:30. But I kind of look at that Oklahoma team, and I'm like, I'm not jumping ahead. I think this is going to be a heck of a series against LA. I love that the Mavs won last night, and just they won a game that this year, I didn't know this until TNT went to the final. The Mavericks hadn't won a game all year without scoring 100 points or more. That was their first win of the year.
Wow.
Okay. Of winning a game where they didn't score 100 points.
And that was Grant Hill was like, this is a 90s basketball game right here.
Okay, what is the crazier stat? That, or I believe it was ESPN Stats and Info that said, this is the second time in franchise history the Timberwolves have been ahead in a series 2-0.
The second time in their history?
2-0.
Was Kevin Garnett the other one?
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, let's think about the history of... I don't even know if they've made the playoffs barely after Kevin Garnett left.
Like, but only the second time I thought was amazing.
Okay.
Back to you, Mike.
But yes, that low-scoring game last night was unique. I would not have known that. But
I didn't know that either. I mean, I knew that the Mavs had played, right? They were crap defense for 50 games of the year. And then they made trades and then became a much better defensive team.
They were holding opponents under 100.
Yes. They could have won a game 110-80.
Yeah.
That doesn't count as winning a game without scoring 100 points. So it does make me feel a little bit confident again on the Mavericks can win games in different ways. Now, the Clippers are going to keep playing good defense. They just have really good athletic strong guys that can cause you issues offensively. So I do think there's going to be one game where the Mavs explode offensively. There might be a game where the Clippers explode offensively on you and there's nothing you can do. But it does make me feel good about this Maverick team making a run in these playoffs, like to the conference finals run that they proved last night. They can win a game where they still stunk offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, they had...
And that's a big deal. You got to be able to do that.
I text you guys this, and this was 9 minutes left in the game, because I wanted to make sure to also, like, remember this. The Mavs had scored 22 points in the second half, 15 minutes into the second half. That's almost or as bad as scoring 8 points in the second quarter, because here you are in the second half. You're up 45-41. You're down 73-67 with 9 minutes to go, and then you start just doing quick, easy math. You're like, crap, we've only scored 22 points this whole half.
And then they responded with a 14-0 run. They saw your text, I'm sure.
Yes.
I think, Kevin, to your note on the Timberwolves, sorry, Mike, the 2003-2004 season, the only other season that they have not lost in the Western Conference first round.
Wow.
They've lost. They've been to the playoffs multiple times, but always lost in the first round. 03-04 with Kevin Garnett, Flip Saunders. They lost in the Western Conference Finals. So aside from that, they always lose in the first round. So I would suppose
that's probably
somewhere
accurate.
In that stretch they were up 2-0.
Holy moly.
All right. Next one real quick.
Is this a sad one?
No. Well, it's just going to cause me issues.
You want me to tell you a happy Luka thing?
Go ahead. Yeah.
He got a partnership announced with Gatorade. They have
that's thirst aid for that deep down body thirst.
Deep down body thirst. He's only the seventh one ever.
He's a big University of Florida fan, obviously.
Along with, I wonder how many people really know that. Michael Jordan, Jason Tatum, Karl Anthony Towns, Zion, Damian Lillard.
Say the last one.
And Jaden Ivey.
Oh, you were gonna make my guess.
It's part of the group. So Luke isn't that now. What's the sad part? Oh, is this about your son?
No, he's taking the driver's test. By the way, there's this place in Garland where he failed yesterday, so I have to go again today. He's ruining my life pretty much this whole week.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, every day, it's something.
Like, is this the first time you've ever thought that about a kid?
After this is over, after that's over, my other son is playing for Bishop Dunn Middle School, and they get to play like in Oklahoma pretty much is where they've decided to play those games. So like after that's over, I'm driving to freaking Richardson, which is forever in 5 o'clock traffic. Close to Plano, where all the rich people live, right? You know what I'm talking about?
You have a very nice house, Mike.
Yeah, but not as nice as Plano. You're right, right, Corey?
I live there.
Yeah, see? how does Sean Sharif not know who Jalen Williams is?
Is he really not?
He's like, I'm like, dude, he's a stud.
He's
like,
very good. Because
he's like, he had this thing on like, well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander isn't playing with anybody great yet.
Yeah,
like, Chet is going to be great, but he's not like great.
And then somebody said Jalen Williams is like, who?
Yeah, and I'm like,
have you
dude.
Seen that dumb commercial with Shai and Chet, though?
I've seen it multiple times. I know who hasn't seen it. That guy just shuts his brain off during commercials.
True. You haven't seen it?
No.
It's
They're
so
singing.
Bad.
It's horrible.
It's a terrible commercial.
Yeah.
What song are they singing? Tomorrow or something like that?
I don't know. It's horrible.
By the way, Tyrese Maxey won most improved player. One of the people he...
Because...
Boo.
Because
you don't agree with
Tyrese Maxey.
No, I love Tyrese Maxey. I don't agree with the way that the award is given in nowadays.
Is like,
you
wanted
to blow out a knee last year?
You're already really good, and now you're really, really good.
Right.
You get the award. I understand what you're saying.
I think the award is like, oh, we didn't think you were good. Now you're good. Now you're most improved. That's the way that I usually view the award.
Excellent. Mike likes it. And thank you very much to Bruce Bochy for jumping on with us. He was brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce. If you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. Flavor favors the bold.
That's coming a bayou.
There you go. Coming
you know,
up
like
next.
The bayou. In Louisiana, they have the bayou.
The C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Does Reggie Bush throw a party with his new trophy? And my underwear situation could cause a problem today, Mike.
I'm interested.
All right, we'll do it next with the Fade.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.